That's so weird. Well, I guess I'll have to attach the video to the slides and I send it in readout. Anyway, if you've seen the video, these two men are arguing with St. Patrick and he's trying to explain the Trinity. And everything he does to try to explain the Trinity falls short because it is a mystery. And they're still talking. Okay, go back to my slideshow. Failed me, computer. Technology strikes again. I'm going to be like teaching and then it's going to like pop out of nowhere and start talking. Okay. So the Trinity. Well, that's a bummer. Maybe I can get it with you later. The Trinity is a mystery. And some people are scared to talk about the Trinity. I myself have never taught about the Trinity. But Josh couldn't be here. And I was like, why not? I'll take a crack at it. Why not? Like, kind of a big subject, but I'm excited. And I do remember when I taught the catechism in a year, we came up on the Trinity in the catechism, and I was really struggling with how to explain it, and I kept telling Father Tilly, I'm like, I need help explaining the Trinity, I don't know what to say, and he's trying to help me out, and then Father Dylan actually sent me that video, and I was like, that's funny, but he, at the end, I kept going, like, I don't understand, and he's like, at the end of the day, you have to accept that it's a mystery. And he might not. And I was like, I don't like that. That's not okay. I want to like dive in and really pull it apart and understand. But there's only so much that we can understand. And we're going to get into why that is. Okay, so the Trinity is a mystery. It's not made by man. So Catholics did not come up with this concept. As some people like to say, it was made by man. It wasn't. It is revealed by God instead. So the Trinity has always been. From very early, the very beginning of creation, in Genesis 1:1, it says, it mentions the Trinity. We'll talk about that later. But so it's not made up. And then the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in paragraph 234, says, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in himself. It is therefore the source of all the other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truths of the faith. Those are some strong words. If you ask me what the essential teaching of the church is, I probably would point to the Eucharist, right? Because it is the source and some of our faith. Without the Trinity, no Eucharist. So the Trinity is the foundational belief that we have to have for all the sacraments, all the teachings of the church. Everything else falls upon the Trinity. And when we do the sign of the cross, which we just did before we prayed, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When we do the sign of the cross, that is Trinitarian. We're not saying in all the names of, we're like in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you just experience the Trinity, but you probably didn't even like think about it, right? Because you just kind of do it. Every time we pray, we start and end in a Trinitarian way, because our faith is Trinitarian. So who here believes that God loves you? It's because of the Trinity. So that is an experience of the Trinity. What the Trinity is not, let's talk about that. So in the video that you get to watch, when he's trying to explain the Trinity, now, like I said, he falls up short. So I'll mention some of the examples, if I can remember them, as I go through this. First off, one thing we need to remember is that we can't overemphasize either the oneness of God, which is kind of like Islam tends to do, like this overbearing God, and also we can't overemphasize the three distinct persons of God, which is what our LDS brothers and sisters do. Like, God is different than the Holy Spirit and the man. That is polytheism. We are monotheistic. One God, three persons. That doesn't add up. The math isn't mapping. We just say it like that. So we're going to dive in and understand this better. But he is not three separate gods. That would be tritheism. He is also not three parts of one God. That would be partialism. So like if you've ever heard St. Patrick using the three-leaf clover to explain the Trinity, it's not really true. because that would be partialism. The second coming of those parts. And then there's also, he's not different modes. So one thing I've heard is people say, he's like water, how it can be frozen as ice, it can be a vapor like gas, and then, you know, liquid is water. That'd be modalism. It's another heresy. It's not getting the right concept. No matter what we say, we can't fully get there. And that's frustrating. But it's also not an abstract or impersonal force, like the force. I always think of Star Wars. But it's not like, you know, God's this other that we can't know or grasp. But it's not isolated. So God is not working in his realm and then we are his minions either. So how do we understand a God that seems abstract? And why can't we see God? So I heard this, I don't even know where I heard it, but I heard it again today, so it solidified in my brain. I spent hours working on this, I was so excited. Okay, so this piece of paper. I know this paper is 3D, but pretend it's a 2D world, okay? And everything, there's like creatures that live on this that are two-dimensional. If I put my fingers through the paper, the people that live there would not see me. They would see what? What would they see in their world? They'd see circles, right? They'd see two circles. Yeah, the two fingers, but they'd be circles, right? Because they'd be two-dimensional. Like, imagine slits of, or pieces of my fingers. This is a very hard concept. I'm going to do my best. So they would see two fingers. But I'm not two fingers. I'm not two, but they'd see two circles. But I am not two circles. I am me. But they are in their world, in their realm, and they cannot understand me. Does that make sense? See that? We are 3D. We're third dimensional. God is not. God is other. I don't know if he's fourth dimensional or way beyond, like way beyond. But we can't fully understand God because he's outside of our realm of possibility of knowing. Does that help understand why? But we can still encounter God because God comes to our world. Just like my fingers were the circles, it's a way of encountering that world. But it's not fully possible until we have the beatific vision, and we are as God is, and we get to see him face to face. So that's kind of an oversimplification. I can't go into details because we'd be here for 4 hours. But I'm going to try to like give you a light understanding, and I encourage you to dive deep into those concepts more on your own. The best that we have come up with is the Trinity Triangle. Also, these slides are in the back, so make sure you grab a copy. If you haven't already, take them home, because I try to make the slides big enough to see, especially in the back, but I know it's hard sometimes. And this is blurry, I didn't know I agree about that. I just stole the image. Okay, so the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. Cool, what does that mean? Like, I get that. This is the best way we can map out the Trinity. But just like if I gave you a map to Yellowstone National Park, it's going to map it out. It's not going to be like going to Yellowstone, right? Like, it's not going to give you an idea of how beautiful that park can be. You have to go and experience it. And you have to get out of where you're at. You can't just stay here and do it. You have to go somewhere to experience it. The same concept, I think. We can map it out to kind of help our brains go, okay, I get this. Now, how does it relate to me? Because this doesn't really make me want to pray more. Any questions so far? Going deep, so. I read the book, and I was like, that's boring. We're not talking about that. Oh, yeah.
If someone is feeling totally confused by this?
Yes.
Is it worth stopping and talking about that right now?
Or
is it worth, like, just...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to... I tried to tell this to my husband, he was like, I'm completely lost. I'm like, really? Yeah. I tried so hard. Okay.
If that was all that one could say, like, that, I find that totally confusing. I'm not sure where to go from that. I'm not sure how to pose a better question.
From this?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're gonna go there. We're gonna dive a little deeper. But feel free to please stop and ask questions. I might not know the answer, but I will try my best to find out. So, one way or another, we'll figure it out together. But at the end, like I said, it is a mystery. And the only way we can get anywhere to knowing the mystery and understanding it is through the grace of God. So, as I had to do, which was very frustrating, you have to accept that we're human and we can only understand so far. There's a ceiling. Yes?
When I was in Catholic some years ago in Mexico, a priest tried to explain it to me. I was 8 years old, and that's the best, at the time I understand it better. He explained to me it's like a pyramid.
Like a what?
Like a pyramid.
Oh, okay.
Like each wall, one wall is the Father, another one is the Son, another one is the Holy Spirit. They will never touch, but they're part of the same being.
Yes, to me I think that verbs on the partialism, because you're
That's how I tried to explain it, you know, that's how all my life I understand it.
Another illustration I've heard is like the family, right? Like you have the dad, the mom, and the kid. But again, it's partialism, because or modalism, because it doesn't explain the connection between them. So that's what we're going to talk about. That's good. But it is hard to understand. So I'm willing to walk with you. Just know that it's okay, and I don't mind the questions. I nerded out like crazy all day long on this. This is fun. Okay, did I skip that? Okay, so we're going to look at the different parts of the Trinity and try to dive deep into the persons, because if we can understand the persons better, it will help us understand how they connect. So first is God the Father. In Hebrew, Elohim, which later he reveals to Moses as Yahweh, the one who is, or I am. He is the uncreated creator, the almighty. He is very wise, right? All-knowing. And he is, God is love. What are some other ways you would describe God the Father? Participation part. Yes.
Good.
He is good. He is all good. That's right.
The ultimate authority.
Ultimate authority. I like that.
The source.
Yeah, he's the source of everything. That's good. Anybody else? Okay. Oh, nope, I had something else to say about that. Okay, so one thing I was reading today said we get to know God by learning about his attributes. We learn more about God by understanding what he does in our lives. And that's the same with people, right? Like, I know my husband better because I know what he does. And I understand what he does better because I know him. So in the same way, that's how we relate to God. So there are names of God throughout the Bible that relate to how he interacts with us. And I really, really like to do a deep dive on the names of God. I think names in general are pretty fascinating. I think the fact that we all have a name and that God knows our name and that God has names and reveals his name, I think it's all significant. And there's like a deep dive. Maybe I'll do a lesson one day. I don't know. But like, I feel like God's like nudging me and I'm just kind of like, I don't know when I'm going to get to it. But I think there's something there. So I want to read some of the names of God that I found that I really like. Elroy means the one who sees you. I love that. El Shaddai is the all-sufficient one. El Olam means no beginning and no end. Adonai, I heard that one, means Lord and Master. Jehovah Rapha, I might be butchering these, I don't know, means the Lord who heals. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. Jehovah Suri means the Lord is my rock. So you can see how people are like experiencing God in their lives and they're naming names of God based on that experience. Does that make sense? So they're sharing that with others. Like, oh no, he healed me. This is his name. Oh, he shepherds us. There's a name for that too. I couldn't pronounce it, so I didn't put it in. There's all these connections to God based on how he moves in our lives. So to understand him is how we understand what he does is how we understand him. Okay, and then the sun. Right, it's very familiar. I put up a Jordan picture because we're surrounded by them, and I love Jordan's art. The sun in Hebrew, Dabar. I don't say Hebrew, so don't come at me. The word, John 1:14. It's about the word. Also John 1:1. The word was with God, and the word was God. Image, Colossians 1:15. It's begotten, not made. Some of you have said the creed a couple times. You probably recognize that. Why do we say that? What does that mean? What do you mean begotten? Jesus is not created. He always has been. It's not the same as not that he was incarnate. It's different. The wisdom of God. So wisdom of God in the Bible, in Proverbs, is personified. Right? Wisdom is a person in the Bible. It later becomes, we understand, it's Christ. Hypostatic union. That is another big Catholic word. Those are fun. Simply means that God is fully God and fully man. Not less God and more man at any time, not the other way around. He's fully human and fully God. Can we understand that completely? No. Another mystery. There's a lot of them. Get used to it. but it is true. And it is the essential truth of our faith. Other names of God. Guys, this is your friend. It is other names of Jesus. Sorry.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. God with us. That's perfect.
Agnus Dei.
Agnus Dei. Lamb of God. I like it.
Counselor.
King of Kings. That sacrificial lamb, and I think Agnus Dei covers that. And the Christ, the Messiah.
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
The Anointed One.
The Anointed One. Again, you see the trend? This is like what he does. It's how he gets to know him. There's something there, I'm telling you guys. It's coming. I don't know. It's working in the brain. Okay. So that is the Son. And clearly we know that the Son died for us. He is our sacrificial lamb so that we can come to God. It's important to stop here for a minute and think about the Son. Jesus claimed to be God. He didn't just claim to be some hippie prophet. He didn't claim to just be a kind of good guy. He claimed to be God. And C.S. Lewis talks about how in Mere Christianity that one thing we cannot say about Jesus is that he was a good person. That he was just a good person. Sorry. That he was just a good person. Because he thought he was God. He proclaimed that he was God. So either he's crazy, a lunatic. This is the trilemma that he talks about. He's a lunatic, he's completely crazy and lost touch with reality, which doesn't seem to be the case when you read the Bible. Or he's a liar, and liars are not good people. He's saying he's God, but he really isn't, then he's a liar. Or he's Lord. And so if the other two don't seem to fit, then he has to be God. And does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Holy Spirit. In Hebrew, Ruach. Breath of God. Mutual love. The Counselor. I heard that for Jesus too. Significant. The Spirit of Truth. John 16:13. Described in the Old Testament reading that I'm going to read for you. Exodus 34:4-5 is described as a cloud. This is when Moses, after the Ten Commandments were smashed because Aaron was making a calf, happened to jump in the fire and jump back out. excuse me. And then Moses cuts two more tablets, okay? It takes them up. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. He took in his hand two tablets of stone, and the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, descended in the cloud and stood with him and there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So when it says cloud there, even though we don't have the words Holy Spirit in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that is the Holy Spirit present. We have here what's called a theophany. I love our big Catholic words. Anybody know what a theophany is? Besides my teachers? Who cheers? Okay, theophany, I'm glad, because I want to explain. A theophany is a visible manifestation of God in a sensible, extraordinary form, often accompanied by visual displays like fire, cloud, or human-like form. So who can think of a time when there was a theophany?
The burning bush.
Ooh, the burning bush. Right. Yeah, the burning bush was a representation, a manifestation. Good. Good. Anybody else? How about the baptism of Jesus? Okay, remember what happened in the baptism of Jesus? Like, did the Holy Spirit descended like a dove? When Jesus is baptized, and the voice of God said, "This is my beloved Son." That's like ultra theophily. Like, it's like the Holy Trinity is right there. I asked Father one time, because I was trying to think of this word, theophany, and I was like, what is it when the Trinity appears? Like, when you're in a... And he's like, well, anytime any of the persons of the Trinity are there, like, the whole Trinity is there. I'm like, I know that. What's the word? It's theophany. Also, transfiguration. You have, like, the cloud, right, and the voice of God. He's there. Yeah. It was pretty cool. I like it. Okay, so now we're going to get into the fun stuff. When I watched, so none of this comes from me, and I am not this smart. I have no letters after my name. I just like to be nerdy and read things. But I saw this video by Bishop Barron, and it just blew my mind, because I'm like, oh yeah, that just makes it so much clearer to me. And Bishop Barron was saying, and he's taking from Thomas Aquinas, but he makes Thomas Aquinas more powerful, because Thomas Aquinas is like way of air, and Bishop Barron just kind of brings him down for us. But he said that every being at all levels can communicate or make an image of themselves. Say that again. Every being or thing can, at all levels, can communicate or make an image of itself. We're going to walk through some examples of that. Let's cut it out. A rock. This would have been like the lowest part of Aquinas' world. Okay, so a rock. Can a rock make an image of itself?
No.
Well, if I take a rock out of the dirt and there's an impression left where the rock was, it's kind of an image of itself. If I put a mirror in front of the rock, there's an image, right? It's a recreation of it. It's not perfect. It's still like, it's a mirror or it's dirt. It's not the rock, I mean, you know, it's not a baby rock. It's just, but it is an impression of it. It leaves leaving a part of itself behind. So this is like the base level of understanding this. We move on to a plant. A plant can do the same thing, right? I can put a plant in front of a mirror. Bishop Barron says I can throw a plant through a window like a rock. I don't think it's going to break it, but whatever. But a plant in front of a mirror will make an impression of itself, but it does one step further, right? It can send its seed to make a plant. So we're moving up in how this happens. And the higher you go, the more interior, the more perfect these images or communication becomes. Does that make sense? Yeah.
What does that word interior mean there?
Intimate, an interior way of communicating, so very intimate. So plants, it's not really intimate, but it's more intimate than the rock because it's actually sending a seed.
Yeah, it's part of itself.
Yes, yeah, sharing itself. Good question. Okay, we're going to move up higher still is animals. Animals can do all the things that a rock can do, but in a more intimate way, it gives birth. Like, even eggs, like chickens, the egg has the baby inside the mom. And so it's very different. The plant sends a seed out there and says good luck, you know, like dandelions. But animals nurture their child and, in some cases, take care of them. Some animals pretty rotten, but most of them nurture them. So we're moving into a more intimate, interior way of communicating an image of yourself. It's not enough time. Okay, higher still, humans. Humans can do all of that, have babies, but now we're going to do an exercise to show how we're like deeper level. I'm going to start talking faster because we're running out of time. But if you guys are okay, then we can go minutes past, whatever. Oh, see, that's the timer. Okay, I want everybody to close your eyes. I always hate doing this in a crowd, but I'm gonna make you do it anyway. I want you to try in your mind to form a perfect mental idea, image, or a word that represents you. Like an image of yourself in your mind, or a word that represents you. Got it? Is it perfect? No. You don't open your eyes. It's not perfect. My word I came up with was nature lover. I love hiking. I love trees, waterfalls. Like, I love being in nature. If you told me to go stand outside in the blizzard, I'd say, heck no. I don't like spiders either. So I don't really love all nature. I love the nice nature. Some people do like spiders. I don't understand that. But So it's not perfect, right? But you have the ability to kind of see yourself. You can also talk to yourself. I do it more often than I should. You can do that mentally. You can have a discussion with yourself. You can be like, why did I do that yesterday? That was stupid. And animals cannot. And here is my cute dog, Oakley. Oakley's adorable, but she's kind of stupid. And she definitely doesn't have any self-reflection. If Oakley ate something that was like rotten bacon tonight and she barfed it up, tomorrow she would eat the same bacon. She would find it and be like, oh, that smells good, I'm gonna eat it. She doesn't sit there and go, now Oakley, that was stupid. It smelled kind of like rotting flesh, you shouldn't have eaten it. She's gonna eat it because she's a dog and she doesn't care. But that's kind of a funny way, like showing how the difference is. So the highest level we can go is God, right? So how does God imprint himself? How does he communicate himself? He has the ability, he is perfect. His image is perfect. The interior word of the Father proceeds from the Father. What is that word that proceeds from the Father?
Christ.
It's the Son. Yes. It's not the same being, not the same substance, but consubstantial. So he is the same substance, but he is not the same person as the Father. The Father is sending the Son. It is the perfect image of he has of himself. In John 1:1, it says, the Word was God, the Word was with God. The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So saying he's with him, but also he is him, this is very confusing. This is the Trinity. Okay, so we got the Son, but we got another being in the Trinity. And that didn't produce two different gods. Much like when you mentally thought of yourself, you didn't split into two people. There wasn't two Kiras, although that'd be cool. There was only one of me. I'm just mentally in my mind. So the same way, we don't have two gods, we have different persons of God. You have a Father who is infinitely perfect. He is all-loving, all-knowing, everything. We have the Son, who, since he's a perfect image of the Father, is all-knowing, all-loving, and they're looking at each other with all this love. And they, Spolton Sheen said they sigh. Sigh is the Holy Spirit. It's the love between them. It's the energy. But it is in the person of the Trinity, too. Yeah, lose anybody. Okay. So, the Father and the Son looking at each other with perfect love is called amora sui, like self-love. And they breathe a sigh that becomes a sanctus spiritus. It's the Holy Spirit. The best way I can like break it down, but it's still imperfect, but does that help understand it a little bit more?
Yes.
Why should we care? What does it matter? I can't understand it fully anyway, so why do I care? And the reason we have to care is because God is communal and his relationship. So are we. So this whole, like, I'm spiritual but not religious, doesn't play with me. Because what that's saying is, like, I want God, but I don't want people. I don't want to, like, commit to a church. Because God is communal and so are we. And the Catechism actually says, like, part of the thing is you gotta go share it. You gotta share the good news with others. You can say, if you believe in me, great, sit here and talk about it. Like, he's like, go out there and share the good news with others. And that's our job too. God wants us to share in the very life that he is. So when I said that we can't fully understand him because we're not in the same realm as him, he wants us in that realm. And that is eternal life. Right? He wants to bring us to him. Bishop Barron said this really clearly. God the Father so loved the world that he sent, right, sending out his word, his only Son, his interior word, all the way out into the limit of God-forsakenness. Planet Earth. So that in the Holy Spirit, the love that they share, he can draw all things back to himself. God doesn't need us. I hate to break it to you because that's the first time you've heard that. He needs nothing. He creates us out of that love. So we are created out of that love, and out of that love, even though we said no to him and we went our own way, he sent his Son, and through the power of the Spirit, pulls us back. Think about it. Baptism. Like, you guys are preparing for baptism. It is the Holy Spirit coming down upon you to make you adopted sons and daughters of God. That's what happens. It's an exorcism that takes place when you're baptized. Saying, like, I belong to God. I'm an adopted son or daughter of God. And Father Mike Schmitz talked about how in the Roman culture, adoption was a big thing. You know, if you were a birth son or daughter, you know, you're blood related, that father can look at you and say you're not perfect and throw you in a ditch. And that's terrible. But adopted kids were different. So we are adopted children of God through baptism. And then also the confessional, like the Holy Spirit. Like, without the Son dying on the cross, we can't go to confession because that's our sins and be drawn to Him. Without the Holy Spirit, Father Chile or Father Paul cannot, cannot have the Holy Spirit bring the wine and the bread into the Eucharist. Right? That can't happen. There's no transubstantiation without the Holy Spirit. That's a big Catholic word. It's like preaching it. Without the Holy Spirit working and the Son's sacrifice, none of that is possible. Does that make sense? So this is why it matters. This is why this is the very foundational belief of the Catholic Church. If you have any questions, I'll be around. Just know that God loves you, wants to spend time with you. And if you found tonight to be completely confusing, I offer you to take it to prayer. Like, God, I don't understand this, but I want to know you more, and He will give you that grace. Because it was.